And we're in the middle of Perek Tes in the topic of Shira V'Zimra song. We're on page Kuf Chav Gimel. We're going to start the middle third paragraph over there. Just to quickly recap, the Rebbe is saying we see there's a big deal about singing on Shabbos. I need to explain the difference between Shira and Zimra. Shira is expressing your feelings with words, while Zimra is expressing it with sound, which will include a nigun. Nigun is used when words can't express what you want to say. And so it's deeper it's much deeper in a certain way, because it expresses a very heavy type of feeling that goes on. We also explained the difference between when different psalms of King David were Shir Mizmor and Mizmor Shir. So Shir Mizmor is you start with words, and then you get into a tune because it gets deeper and harder for you to express. Then the Reb, he asks, then what about Mizmor Shir? We're just starting with the deeper niggun and then you're going to words. How does that fit? That seems to be going to the lighter aspect. So, however, he says the truth of the matter is that there is a certain aspect, a certain benefit to Mizmor using a niggun, because that's a deep feeling. On the other hand, there's a deficiency, and even a sakana, he says, a danger if you're only using a niggun, because if you can't explain what you have, what you're feeling, then at the end, when the feeling is over, you got nothing to take home with you. Well, if I have words, those words still remain that I felt. Very important idea. So, and the Rebbe says that when you have deep, deep feelings, you usually get these general grasps. But in God's realm, we need the general grasp and the detailed grasp. And that's what he said is the whole point, for example, when you're saying Shema. You're saying Shema, haven't you said everything? But still, after the Shema, when you said Shema, you said Hashem's a creator, he's everything, there's nothing but Hashem. So why do we have three paragraphs after the Shema? The point being, because, as he's going to, and that's what we're up to right now. And that's what he's going to explain now. Avol be'emes, that's what we're up to now. So after asking and saying, so why bother saying anything else after the Shema? You've said it all. What do you need v'ahavta and b'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha? Or the same thing by Shimon Esrei. Once you say Hashem is konei akol, so why do you got to say anything else after that? So the answer is avol be'emes ain't okay. And the truth is, it's not so. L'ma ha'dover domer, what can we compare this to? L'garin shel eitz pri, to a seed of a fruit, of a fruit tree. You're going to plant a tree. You got this seed. Hamerakeis besocho es kol koach eitz. In this seed, you have concentrated in it the entire future of a tree and everything that's encompassed in a tree. It's all in this little seed. Sharashav, Gizo, Anofov, Alov, Uperosov, Uperos, Perosov, Atsov, Kodaris. You have the roots and the trunk and the branches and the leaves and the fruits and the fruits that come out of the fruits for generations to generations. Right? That's, you know, take one little olive seed, whatever, place, you know. That's what we could have for years. Vinimtsa Korna Sagarin, if a guy is buying a seed, Kona Bazaar, Kinyan Otsum. You've got a big, big acquisition here in this little seed. However, but as long as you haven't taken the active powers of the seed, haven't gotten into the details yet, you haven't realized that potential. All you have is the seed. You have the seed sitting on your table here. You have all these big plans for the seed. You haven't done anything with them. Still in all, you only have a seed. And if you want to eat that seed, and your stomach won't even be able to digest that seed. And if that's all you're going to eat, you're going to die from starvation. Yeah, but it's a tree, it's fruits, it's this and that. But right now, it's just a seed. Right? So as much as the potential lies in the seed, but until you realize the potential, you're going to starve to death from potential. So just like in the physical realm, kachu mamish inyan hisrakshus mehasogas klolis atzumis. So too, we have to say, is the feelings of enthusiasm and excitement and emotion that come from the general grasp of things. Shemasigal sam shaper kaner yisod v'shorish ledvekus v'hispatlus atzum l'shem yisbrach. That a person who grasps this general concept, he has a tremendous thing. He has a tremendous foundation and a root to bonding and surrendering and nullifying yourself to Hashem. It's amazing. But you still have to bother and grind out those generalities, those lofty generalities, bit by bit by bit. Grind it out. Get the details out of it. And to put emphasis on all those details. And to draw forth this dvekus, this cleaving to everything that your eyes see in every detail in life. And what your ear hears. When you drink, as you go in everything you do. So, Sir Pinker is saying a beautiful idea here. You know, you have this is very much against the idea of, you know, all these people who say, you know, I believe in God. I believe in God, but it doesn't translate into details. So, okay, so you believe in God, and therefore what? I believe in God. So that's a wonderful seed. It's a beautiful seed. It's a beautiful idea that you believe in God. So now how does that translate itself into your life? Are you planting the seed? Are you watering the seed? Are you doing anything? You're pruning the trees? Are you doing anything with that wonderful idea? Or is it just remaining a wonderful idea? And of course you have to have that wonderful idea. Without that wonderful idea, you're never going to get anywhere else. But if you leave it at that wonderful idea, nothing's going to come of it. That's when you say the Shema, even though it's a wonderful idea, the Shema, and it's the foundation and the seed of Yiddishkeit, but it's got to translate itself into real actions, such as putting on tefillin, putting up mezuzahs, teaching your children Torah, speaking of Torah wherever you go. If it's really so that God is everything, so how do you demonstrate it in every single little itty-bitty act in your life? That's a very powerful idea. A lot of people would just want to say, okay, I'll pray for a minute. Please, God, help me in my life. Finished. That's not enough. That's not enough. It's you know, you gotta get into the deals of how far reaching what he does for you is. Right? So generalities are important. Those generalities will blow your mind away. This generality that there is nothing else but God, that's about the biggest, most powerful generality you're gonna have in your life. But you better really understand what the details that flow out of that generality have to be. And you have to be committed to those details that come out of that generality. When a person says they love their spouse all day long, I love you, I love you, I love you. Okay, good. That's a nice generality. It's a nice generality. So what do you do? What do you do about it? I love you, therefore what? I don't see you a whole day? Yeah. I love you, and therefore, this is what I'm committed to do for you. A, B, C, D, etc., 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 etc. And those are the little details that all come out of that generality. So, that being the case, now we come back to our issue here. Okay, we asked, if you're starting off with Zimra, which is the niggins, which is the deep feeling, so what do I need the shira for? So now it's obvious the answer. Okay, nachar has Zimra, dayan tzarech l'shira. Therefore, even after you started with Zimra, which is a niggin, you still need the shir, which is the words. Why? Lefareit mashihir gishba oimek liba lepratim. You have to detail that which you feel in the depths of your heart. You have to get it into the details now. V'adram, the opposite. Iker hashira ubapeh. The main point of shira is with the mouth. Ukamo amiris psukei de zimra. Just like we say psukei de zimra, words of zimra, still laharech bediktu kapratim. To take a while in detailing every little point. Varak al yidei shira v'zimra yachad, only through shira and zimra together, yisaru af yashiru v'yagio ha'adam l'tachas avoda, will a person be aroused and will also say shira and reach the goal of his service. Akan l'shan ha'taka, that's how much I've copied over from what I quoted from my other book, says Rav Pinkus. So you got the idea. So sometimes you can start with shira, and those are words, those are details, and the details can arouse you to a generally deep feeling of connection to Hashem, which is deeper than when you started. And other times you could start with a deep feeling for Hashem, but then you have to bring out the details of how it comes out into life, and how it translates, how those big generalities become those details of your life. So there's two ways to do this, right? Well, Cain, therefore, now we come Chaya to Shabbos that you asked me from yesterday. Okay, now Shabbos he kula yom shel zimra. So Shabbos is really a day that's full of zemer, of sound, of the sounds. It's mamish. Now mamish on Kabbalah Shabbos. The hills are alive with the sound of music. That's mamish. It's mamish the pshat. That's mamish. It's a Jewish title. The hills are alive. You go out to the hills to bring Kabbalah Shabbos. The hills are alive with the sound of music. The sound of music. That sound of music. That shira. It's filled with it. Shabbos is lemala mitvisaseinu. Shabbos is beyond our grasp, and that's what Zimra is. The niggun. It's just beyond us. We know there's something amazing going on, and you can feel something amazing going on, and it's beyond words. Mein olam haba. It's a taste of the world to come. You can't get better than that. You can't get something that should cause such a tremendously general arousing of such. Umasha neshama margisha v'alev meiv mishabbos, what the soul and heart feel and understand on Shabbos. And koch bapela omro, there's no power in any mouth to say this. V'lo belev la'asig al borya, in any heart to really apprehend and grasp this totally. V'chein oiskim harbe v'zimra, that's where there's a lot of zimra on Shabbos, a lot of tunes. You have to have a lot of tunes. Those tunes are at least expressing the deep feeling that's there, although you can't really detail it as such because it's so overwhelming. All right, so you can see why there's a lot of Zimra on Shabbos. Amnam, however, ma shebiyuched is Kabbalah Shabbos and Zimra. So why is Kabbalah Shabbos so unique for Zimra, for Nigunim, more so than any other part of the Shabbos? I'll say over a insight that I heard many years ago from a great rabbi, Mordechai Ginsburg, one of the great rabbis in the Mir Yeshiva. The rabbis in Gemara tell us a statement like this: the day of death, the rabbis say, it comes with suddenness. As they say, the day of death comes with suddenness. Now, let's try to understand the truth of that statement. Yeah, I agree. People like our levels, because of our multiple sins, it comes suddenly without us really preparing for it. Right? God forbid, a person's is told they're very, very sick. It catches them off guard, and death comes very suddenly, so to speak. Right? Avol tzaddikei olam, but the real tzaddikim, the really holy people. Harei b'chol yom v'yom machinim es atzvam likras osei yom. Every day they're preparing themselves for the day of death, as it says in Pirkei Avos. Do tshuva one day before you die. But you don't know when you're going to die, so do tshuva every day. And tzaddikim every day would prepare for their deaths. Koshitzin chazal. As our rabbis tell us, yes, shuv yom echad lifnei misvesor, to shuv one day before he died. V'noira, and it's so awesome, mashem asukra, gedol et tzaddikim, what they talk about, great tzaddikim, ad kam vat heichan, hayu muchanim b'chol rega likras ha'achris, how certain rabbis and great holy people would prepare themselves so much every minute for that final moment. They really were ready for it. So listen, when the rabbis and Gemara say that it comes suddenly, it comes suddenly for everybody. So what do you mean? How does it come suddenly for the tzaddikim? They've been ready for this. You could say the opposite. It's coming out of great preparation. They're not being surprised. So how can we say this statement that death comes as a surprise when for tzaddikim it's something they've been working on and even yearning for that day to be able to show how wonderful they are? Va'amar Zal, and our great rabbi says like this, the answer is, Sha'osa ha-ma'var bein chayim l'chayim, this passageway that we take from one type of life to a different type of life, who kol kach nor, is so awesome, Shad kama sha'adam yachin atzmo, that no matter how much a person prepares for this, lom yeheza pisom, it's always going to be understood as sudden. Ukiilu yomer oza adam, it's as if the person says right then, nachon she's konantuza, I agree, I have prepared for this. Avol ad kedei kach lo chashavtim yom, but I never thought how much this change would be. Shloshech klal etaras hamavrim yom yom, it's not possible to describe this transition from one world to the next. V'tamid yishar adavar begeder piso matkan, and it's always considered sudden. In other words, you know, as much as you're prepared, but you're prepared for something that's in theory. You're prepared, yeah, it's going to be a world beyond this world, a spiritual world, and whatever they understand. But you know what? You can't compare the maximum intellectual understanding to that reality to the real reality. When the real reality comes, no matter how much you prepared, it's still, now it's of course better to prepare. Don't say, if that's the case, I shouldn't prepare anyway, I won't know. No. Because it's still going to put you in good stead to the degree that you do prepare. But it still comes as a total surprise. To the extent of change that exists, even for those who have prepared. So now, when we understand this idea that no matter how much you prepare, I never knew that way. Or even something that maybe we can understand a little bit better. You know, people say they're going to help somebody, and they didn't. And once you start doing, you don't realize how hard it was. And after you say, well, I don't know if I'd ever volunteer for that again. I never thought it was going to be that hard. Because even though they explain it to you, they say, listen, it's going to be this, it's going to be this, it's going to be this, it's going to be this. Once you know, it's not going to be easy. And they intellectually got themselves psyched up. I understand. And then when they step into it, once you're into it, you know, it's like, you know, Lahavdil, let's say for example, from what I understand, an air traffic controller. They say it's a stressful job. So you can describe it so many ways, but until you're dealing with hundreds of planes. Not that. That's not the air traffic controller. No. The air traffic controller is in the tower. He's in the tower, and he's charting all the planes that are coming in. And, you know, on these rainy, foggy days, you can't see the planes. All you see is these little blips. And these blips get, you know, and it's unbelievable stress. You know how many hundreds of lives are in your control? And you never know what... It can be explained a million times, but until you have to sit in that seat, you have no idea what you're going to be getting yourself into. So the same thing, marriage. You can explain to somebody what marriage is like, but boy, you don't know what you got yourself into. It's not a bad thing, but it's a totally different reality. It's a totally different reality. You can explain only so much, but ultimately, you know, what does it mean that you can't do whatever you want? What do you mean that you're one soul? You're never fully prepared, and that's the way a lot of things are in life. People want to be fully prepared. There's no such thing, you know. Those people are fully prepared. By the time you're prepared, the opportunity is gone, right? And it's gone. So same thing when you pass on to this world. That's what's going on. So now he says, "V'kama matim rayon zel Shabbos kodesh." So this is very matim. It's very parallel of this idea of Shabbos. Shepoiskim bo bezimmer. That's why we start with Zemmer, with the Niggin. Sheshabbos tamid nichneses bepitomis uvehavta'ah. Shabbos always comes with a suddenness. V'yafal pi shehatchu shehiskoinenu kol ha-shevuah mitzvah zochet shomer Shabbos. Even though we prepared all week long because of the mitzvah of remember the Shabbos. And on when today, people are going shopping now. Wednesday, you're shopping for the food. So you know why? Because I know Shabbos is coming on Friday. And things are happening. And certainly the whole Friday with that abundant preparation, you know Shabbos is coming. You're really preparing for Shabbos. But at the end of the day, when the Shabbos actually does arrive, it's a passageway from one world to the next. When Shabbos hits, it's unbelievable. When the Shechina descends, there's an elevation, an awesome elevation for every Jew that you can't be ready for that experience. And from that tremendous excitement and feeling you have from that sudden change, you lose the ability to articulate that in speech. Uposchem b'zimra, and you start with a niggun. The niggun expresses the overwhelming feeling that's come over you. So, and that's why we, what are the words that start the real Kabbalah Shabbos? Is O Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos. Mizmor, it's a niggun. Shir Liyom HaShabbos. And then we come to the words of the Shabbos. That's the actual Kabbalah Shabbos when you say Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos. Right, so I would assume that there must be ways of doing Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos where you start with a niggun before you start with the words. Really, that would be the best way to do it. Right? It'd be a niggun going into Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos. Okay, so we could say when we're dancing and singing and doing a niggun, that's the niggun before Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos. We could say that. Right? But that's really... or, you know, maybe when Karl Bach goes, Mizmor, 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 right? You're really not saying any words. That's really just a niggun. Right? So that's, in other words, that the awesomeness, we can't describe it. Okay, so once I've dealt with that for a good, 20 minutes, now I can start saying the words. Now I can start detailing what it's all about. So that's what I'm saying. Tekef im Knesset Shabbos. Immediately with the coming of the Shabbos. Toiv say. He's rakshu shal mizmor. He's grabbed by feelings of mizmor. V'yachach, and then afterwards, hashir comes the words. Shein dairak l'zamer. It's not enough just to say the tune. El b'chol meshach ha-shabbos harach l'faret zichasel v'lashir. But through the whole Shabbos, you have to detail in your words your song. Right? That's when the details come out. But since against your will, it's got to start with a mizmor. Kol Seder, Kabbalah Shabbos, Shira Zimra. That's where the whole order of Kabbalah Shabbos is Shira and Zimra. Sherega HaKabbalah, Hurega Oyam, V'noira Shein Koyach, Bepel Leimer Nerosov. That moment of greeting the Shabbos, that's such an awesome moment. There's no power of any mouth to describe the awesomeness of that situation. That is unbelievable, right? So, therefore, people who want to rush through the Kabbalah Shabbos, they just don't get it. They don't get it. It's just unfortunate. They don't get it. And that's what he's going to say in the next paragraph. So, this custom of singing on Shabbos, this is a custom for all the Jewish people. Even though the way I just described it to you is really very only unique to ultimate tzaddikim, because you and I don't feel this. Do you feel that awesome change of the Shabbos? The awesome change of reality? Only tzaddikim really, really sense that main olam haba. Ukiyadua shaba'es kinesis ha-shabbos o'yipneim borim kilapidim. We know that when the Shabbos came, their faces would be burning like a torch. Rabbi Yehuda bar Eloy in the Gemara, V'doim l'malach Hashem tzvokais, his face was like a malach, mamish. U'misaf ma'kodesh Yisrael Avram ben Avram, z'chus yigen aleinu, Hatzadik mi'vilna, and they tell us about the holy convert, Avram ben Avram, Pataki, right, who was a righteous convert from Vilna, right, the one that was martyred on the second day of Shavuos. Shoyomer, who said, Any misugul ahavin, ech Yehudi shenolad lav Yehudi vim Yehudia, from etzetzei Avram Yisrael Yaakov. He said, "I'm not able to understand how a Jew who's born from a physical Jewish father and a physical Jewish mother, who's a descendant from Avram Yisrael Yaakov, I can't understand yochel b'mitzias lisbo es kedushas knisas Shabbos kodesh. How the Jew can tolerate." Can live through the holiness of the entrance of Shabbos, ve'nishmaso parachas mimenu, and his soul doesn't just jump off from him. Mishal heves hakedusha bo'eres bekirbo, from the flame of kedusha that's burning inside of him. I don't know how a Jew couldn't die on Shabbos. As soon as Shabbos comes, should be blown away by the Shabbos. A Jew who has such a special soul and who understands the Shabbos, that your soul should just be taken away. They just go away every year. I don't know how they keep their souls inside of them. I just don't get it. The Shabbos is such a... the Kedusha is just swarming. And your neshama just wants to go to the Kedusha. The Kedusha would be a magnet. Just bloop, take your soul right out of your body. And you'd be dead. I don't know how a Jew can live to the Shabbos experience. That's how overwhelming it really is. That's what Rav Pinchas says. So, okay, I don't think all of you can get this right. For us, what can we answer after this? Are we even applicable to this awesome, real awesome feeling? However, just like anything with holiness, we go according to minig. Because of the feelings that's incorporated in the totality of Jewish people. When you look at the Knesset Yisrael, the totality of Jewish people, in the generality, you have somewhere, you have the deepest levels as the way it used to be. And every individual tries the best he can to try to come close to what's there. At least he should be thinking and knowing how far reaching these things really are. So the Rebbe is saying, I know you're not going to feel when Shabbos comes along that your soul is going to be jumping out of your body. You're not going to feel this. But you should know that's how you're supposed to feel. And you should know that really is what your soul is feeling. And you should appreciate that you're not in touch with your neshama. So going back to the Piyazetz and the Rebbe's Torah, where he's always saying the whole avod of the Jew is to get in touch with his neshama, to reveal the soul. If we'd reveal the soul, we would feel this. Right? So at least, Rav Pinchas here is saying, at least you should know what is going on, even if you can't feel what's going on, and try to make your actions suit. That's why whenever we do these minhagim, even though I don't feel it, don't worry, your neshama does, and just keep doing it. Because get used to it, because that's what Olam Haba is going to be like. At least you'll be trained for what Olam Haba is like, even if you don't. And you can work on it. And over years and over time, and get away from the gashmius of life, you know, maybe one day you're going to feel it, or to some extent, and it'll be a better feeling than you ever felt before in your life. So it's interesting. Below there's a short footnote, right? So I mean, so this is obviously what the Shir and Zimmer are all about here. So this is an unbelievable thing, and so we got to keep that focus during all the suddas, during everything, and to keep the songs flowing. Because of the Arava Gon, I'm doing the bottom footnote. Rabbi Moshe Aaron Rosenthal Shlita, Rav Dershkunas Roma Mab Yerushalayim. This Rabbi Rosenthal told me, Binizmiros V'Shira B'Shabbos Kodesh Suda, regarding the songs you sing at the Shabbos meal. He says like this. Near the Kodem, before you sing, Yilmat Torah al Shulchan, you should first learn Torah at the table. Yachach Yizmer Zmiros, then you should sing Zmiros. Why? Rael is that? He brings a proof in the Gemara Megillah. Gemara Megillah says, B'yom HaShvi, on the seventh day, Ketov Lev HaMelech, when the king's heart was good. Seventh day of the party. That's the day they kill Vashti. So the Medrash over there, the Medrash says, why do you have to say the seventh day? So the Medrash says it was Shabbos. And Omer Rava says, Yom HaShvi Shabbos, it was Shabbos. And now it just gives a parenthetic comment about Shabbos that's not necessary, so to speak, but threw it in, and obviously it's thrown in, it's teaching us something. Just parenthetically saying, Shisrol Oichlim V'Shoisim, that the Jew eats and drinks, Maschilim B'Divrei Torah, they begin with words of Torah, U'B'Divrei Tishbachos, and with words of praise of Hashem. So the order is, you eat, you drink, you say some Torah, and then you sing. Okay, the next part, I don't get it. You could say that we usually start the first nigun is Mizmor LeDavid, right? In some places, Mizmor LeDavid. So Mizmor LeDavid is like Divrei Torah. It's like words of Torah. It's Musar type of Torah. I believe it's a medrash that says he wanted his Tehillim to be like Divrei Torah. One Hashem should consider his Tehillim like Divrei Torah, because that connects you to him. So, okay. But clearly there should be an idea of learning Torah. And again, the learning Torah, the more you learn Torah, what did the Chovas HaLevavos tell us about learning Torah? Learning Torah is a spiritual endeavor. The more you're learning Torah, the more you're hooked into the spiritual and removed from the physical. So that makes a lot of sense. You learn Torah. Torah gets you into a spiritual mindset. And now, when you're singing the Zemer, right, now you're in a good position to get this overall deep feeling of spirituality. you know, it's hard to sing Zmiros when you're totally engaged in physical activities. It's hard because you're so engrossed in the physical. How are you going to turn into spiritual? So he's saying, you know, so you got to make a little bit of a shift. You know, you had to eat, you're hungry, you had to drink, right? And now you get into Torah, so you get a good talk of Torah for a while. So now you're transitioning into spiritual mode. And now that you're in spiritual mode, the singing that will come forth will be that type of singing that will open up the soul, because you've already opened it up with the Torah learning you've done already. And then you move on full scale with the Zmiros that come on with that. Right, so that's a good way of looking at the Shabbos table, a way of looking at the Shabbos. Okay, excellent. Let's move on. Next chapter, Perek Yud Kuv Chav Vav. Klolos Hakol, the generality of everything, the generality of everything. Okay, he's bar b'chelek aleph. We explained in the first section, Shamalchus he klolos hamedina. That kingship is the overall totality of the country. It's going to go back and review a little bit. Go Malchus Paras, let's say the Persian kingdom. Kol Malchus Ancha Medina Mispatelas Al Metzius Malchus Paras. The essence of every individual countryman is nullified before the reality of the kingdom of Persia. The kingdom overrides every individual reality. Shemiata Kol Yochid V'Yochid Eino Adam Prati L'Asno. Now every individual isn't his own individual. El Nikolav Hashem HaKlol Yisrael Malchus, but rather he's given over to the general name of the realm. That becomes now the definition of their essence and their importance of every person in the realm. Right? You're an American, you're a Canadian. Right? So you see a big emphasis now in Beirut. You know, even you're in Beirut, but you're still an American. You're still a Canadian. And efforts have to be made to get you out. All of a sudden you're Chashiv. All of a sudden, you know, okay, we got to get them out. We got to get 25,000 Americans out of there. Right? Lebanese Americans, right? But they're Americans. Since they're Americans, now we're going to do what you can to get you out of there, right? So that's that gives you a chashivas. When you surrender, there's some value to being an American citizen, you see? Because I'm American. I got 300 million people behind me wanting to get me out. The president wants to get me out. Everybody wants to get me out. We're going to get you out. It's funny, such a powerful country, still they can't get them all out yet. But I guess that's what you call bureaucratic red tape, right? Or whatever it is, logistics. Anyway, Mipneza, Shamalchusi HaKoach HaKol HaSom. So we see that Malchus is this power that incorporates the whole people. Hadvarim HaMivatim Es HaMalchus VaGvonim HaMiuchadim L'chol Malchus UMalchus Mispashim Mitzrachim Larbe Nosim B'tocham. The way this expresses itself, the fact that you are an American or a Frenchman or whatever, the things that express the different shades of governance that are unique to every kingdom, they spread out into all kinds of topics amongst the people. In other words, it's not just we say, okay, he's an American, he's a Frenchman, and that's the difference. He's from America, he's from France. No, it's much more than that. Ukiyadu, as we know, Shehevdul Bein Ha'amim, the difference between nationalities, Mispatei Gam Betzuras Pirtzof Ha'panim, it even expresses itself in the facial differences. Shazem Mishkaf Maos Kolam, that is like the window to see the essence of the person. A Chinese person does not look the same as a Canadian. The face looks different. Totally different face. And a Muslim face is different than a Canadian face. The faces look different, and mamish different. And also the nations are different in their languages. That's a fundamental change to the whole category of speaking people. Within what makes us unique to change us from being animals, we're speakers. And in that most unique aspect, we're all so different. And also the garments that we wear, the clothing, the styles, the Chinese clothes versus American clothes, totally different clothes. Muslim clothes, totally different way that you dress or don't dress. You sewed gadol b'mina noshi. There's such a fundamental principle in what it means to be a person. How you prepare the food, what kind of foods people eat. V'chein b'chol hashkaf v'sachayim, in the whole outlook of life. V'haman talios. I'm not sure what he means by that. It could be your thought processes, like mentality. It could be a modern Hebrew word for mentality. It's your mentality. You know, there's an American mentality. There's a Chinese mentality. There's a German mentality, a French mentality. Right? So there's a mentality of life. You know, different joie de vivre. That's what makes differences. Nivdalos umasumasul. So these nations are totally different than others. And the whole way the country runs can be shown even by the way the houses are built, the architecture, the way the roads are designed. You see how the realities of the kingdom totally embrace every aspect of life of the people who live in that realm. Very important idea. You know, you're a citizen of a certain country. It's a whole Weltanschauung. It's mamish, a whole different Weltanschauung. You can't, in every aspect, it totally takes over every aspect in terms of mores, things like that. It's a totally different way of living life. Right? So that's, can you imagine, you're European, right? You know, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, everyone's taking a break. Right? Well, in America, it says, what's going on? A bunch of lazy good-for-nothings, right? But it's a different reality. They say, don't you know how to live? Aren't you tasting life? Why are you crazy and working all day without waiting? It's a different mentality. More vacations, you know. It's a different lifestyle. So why is that so? Why is it that every nation is so different than the others? V'asibul kach, the reason is, sh'rei kvar hisbar, sh'amalchus hikoch elyon ha'shochem b'tocha medina. Because the concept of malchus, of royalty, of kingship, it's a supernal power that dwells amongst the country. It's a power from above that dwells below. It comes out that the royalty is the heart and soul of the country. And the aspect of the soul is different than the body. Because the body is broken up into different parts. But a soul is never broken up into parts. It incorporates the whole 248 organs and 365 sinews in one shot. Gasher Misiacheres Medina Plonia Lamachus Plonis. When one country becomes unique and united with one rulership, it's a unity that spreads into all the details of life into that country. That's what the Rambam says about a Jewish king, Shalibo who lev kol Yisrael. A Jewish king, his heart has to be the heart as big as the whole Jewish people. We see a country brings in the leadership, the kingship brings in a reality, it's a neshama for everything that exists. Okay, where he's building up to, you're going to see tomorrow. He incorporates the Shabbos into that. We'll see where this takes us, and it's really going to have to be patient. It's going to have to be incorporated into Perek Yud Aleph as well.